And that is our theme, Musicians Come and Play, with Larry Rezavi wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 535 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on the FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 14 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We have a temperature reading here in central Minnesota of 11 degrees, just dropping to 11, and blowing snow, low visibility, so conditions aren't the best out there. So take care if you're out and about traveling. Well, like I said, it is our 535th edition. We have our guest on the line. We're going to say good morning right now to Mr. Brian Brigham. Brian, how are you doing?
Well, good morning, Si. It's great to hear from you. I was just listening to your weather forecast. You got cold temperatures and snow up there, huh?
Yes, we do. What's it like in Cashton?
Well, right now it's about 25 degrees, I suppose.
Okay.
Thereabouts. I'm going to take a look for you right now. It's 26.
26.
26, but it's supposed to cool off overnight.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to be like 9 degrees tomorrow or something like that, but very little snow on the ground, just a trace.
Okay, we picked up 3 inches overnight yesterday and last night, so I had to do a little shoveling this morning, but things are looking white again. We had a white Christmas up here, and then we had some warm weather between Christmas and New Year's, so everything turned brown again, and now it's all white again, so... I guess they tell me it's good because you don't want those septic systems and such things freezing down, so you need a little snow cover.
You know, we did have a nice, we had about 6-8 inches here before the warm weather, and it was a very nice insulation that we wish we could have kept it, but, you know, although the warm weather kind of felt good, too.
It does. Now, the older we get, the more we appreciate it, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, I spent the weekend, I just got home last night, but... went up in Hayward, Wisconsin. It was ice fishing for a couple days, and as much as I like doing that, walking into a warm cabin at night sure feels good.
Isn't that the truth? You bet. Yeah. You bet. I know you've liked going fishing over the years with your kids. Do they still go along, or are you all by yourself?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No, they go with,
yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they still get involved with it, and we do a bunch of snowmobiling down here if the weather permits. I actually got a collection of vintage snowmobiles. I got 9 of them sitting here.
Oh my goodness!
I like to mess around with, and I like little hobbies. I got some old tractors, some old snowmobiles, and I like to have different interests going. And like I say, I like to fish. I have a little fishing place up in Hayward, Wisconsin, that I like to hang out at when time permits. And you know, you live once, have fun with it, right?
Absolutely. I totally agree. So, Brian, for just for the folks that have never heard you on the show, we've had you on several times, but it's been a while. Can you give us a little brief history, where you were born and raised, who mom and dad were, and how you got started playing the concertina?
You betcha, I certainly will. And first of all, thanks for reaching out to me, Si, and doing this interview. I always enjoy it. I was born and raised right down the road here from where I live now in 1965, June 5th of 1965, born and raised in Cashton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And grew up in a family, a very musical family, as my grandpa, my great uncles were all musicians. Honestly, I would even say our history goes back farther than the Whoopi John days.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I had ancestors in Cologne, Germany that were all musicians, and they just, from there, the descendants moved over to this country, and they continued the music. I have ancestors in Cologne, Germany that are still musicians under the Brigand name.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so it goes a ways back. And just like in our local area here, my first cousin, Gary Brigand, you know, he's a concertina player, has a nice band.
Yeah.
And then I have another first cousins, two brothers and two sisters. They're all first cousins of mine that have a country band, but kind of the older country music. They play very well. They sing very well. They do a lot of church masses, music masses. Leather and Lace is their name. And like during Christmas season, they do many, many churches and do a lot of Christmas concerts in churches. They're very good.
Okay.
Very good. So anyway, yeah, I was born and raised right here in Cashton, and my dad, Philip, played with his brothers and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa for years, and when grandpa passed away, my dad and his brothers changed the name from Herman and the Jolly Dutchman to the Ridgeland Dutchman.
Uh-huh.
Because they all lived on St. Mary's Ridge, and they kept the band going. Their sister played accordion with them, and then her family was getting bigger, and eventually I came in, and I was playing trumpet on the band at 8 years old. I started with those guys.
Oh, wow.
And eventually, I'd always, you know, I would always cue into WKTY radio station out of here in La Crosse. And I just loved Sylvester Liebel the way he played. That concertina sound he had just always kind of did something to my ears that no other instrument ever did.
Okay.
And with that, I picked up, Dad had a concertina, and I started messing around with it. And I eventually became the concertina player on that band, switched from a trumpet to the concertina. And as time progressed, I kind of decided that I wanted to, it was like a five-piece band.
Sure.
And I decided I wanted to really go after that New Ulm sound of music with the full horn section, the 2-3 horns, you know?
Sure.
And really, I mean, the traditional New Ulm sound was always a 10, 11-piece band, but, you know, it doesn't work out that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I wanted to have a bigger band with 6-7-piece band, and so instead of working for my dad come and work for me, and that at that point is when Gary Brigand kind of took over that concertina spot, and no hard feelings were done, and everybody got along, and we still do to this day.
Well,
and everybody's. And that was the most important thing.
That was a feel-good story. I mean, yeah, folks always like to hear that. They always wonder, you know, and I've known, too, for a long time, that you guys were all together at one time. And probably, were you and Gary actually on the band together at that time?
You betcha.
Yeah.
When I was playing concertina, my uncle played the drums, and health issues, he did not play anymore. And that's when Gary came on the band and played drums, and he was an excellent drummer.
Yeah.
I really mean, he was a very good drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
And him and I worked a few years together with him on the drums, and he did a very nice job.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah. So anyway, then I kind of switched things over and went to the bigger band sound, and it's been, I love the challenge of it. Is it an easy thing to do, run a big band? No.
No.
It's not. Horn players are getting fewer and fewer and fewer. It's hard to find them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's tough. But yet, running a band of this size, I always kind of have to get my homework going and get everybody signed up for the year as we go because, you know, I just, I like to have a quality band out on stage.
Yeah.
And guys that can cut it. And it's like I say, it's hard, it's challenging, but I like doing it.
Well, there you go.
I like doing it.
That's great. And you've kind of gone to more of the family band, huh? You're using family members in the band pretty much?
Well, you know, it kind of did. It's just, actually, now we're, you know, my dad passed away in 2017, and he was like the rock that was next to me. I treasured every dance job I played with him. My dad, the first class A1 perfect Louis Armstrong of trumpet players? No, he wasn't, and he would have been the first to admit it. But like my oldest son said, Grandpa was so good. My dad was such a good entertainer. He didn't even need a trumpet.
No.
He could entertain a crowd, and he could sing. And he held his own on a trumpet. He did well.
Yeah.
But he kind of had that style of, if you listen close, kind of the old New Ulm Al Kopetsky trumpet sound to him of the old whoopee stuff. And it was a unique sounding thing, but it was always fun to turn him loose on these old nostalgic Whoopi John tunes and that stuff, and the people would just go nuts on it, and the more they hollered, the more he did. He was a great entertainer, my dad was.
And I understand.
But when he passed away, my wife Jody, we got married in 01, so she instantly was on the band then as a piano player.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Jurgensen, our old banjo guy, he was an excellent musician.
Grandpa.
But he was pushing 90 years old.
You called him Grandpa.
Called him Grandpa, and he kind of just retired, and he deserved. And then, so Jody came in on the piano, and then my son Philip came on the band, and he was playing trumpet for a while. And since that, with work and other obligations, he really hasn't. He's a boy that had that airplane accident.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he had an airplane accident, taking flying lessons, and he had kind of a pretty nasty concussion. So that's kind of held him back. He hasn't been playing with us.
Okay.
So as far as family stuff, it's just Jody and I.
Okay.
And my trumpeters have been Mark Hines and Marty Knockreiner's done, you know, he kind of moved away from us, but he's still able to make about three quarters of the jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And Randy Thull is one of the Good Time Dutchman kids there.
Yep.
He's been working with us quite a bit.
Okay.
Just works out with his schedule that he's been playing most of the jobs with us. Our bass man, Frank Gillespie.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent bass player. You know Frank.
I do.
Excellent bass player.
Yep.
Frank had some health issues and that he's taken care of with cancer, throat cancer, stuff like that.
Sure.
He's been working, getting himself back in the shape, and hopefully someday Frank will be able to do some playing again with us. But in the time being, I guess I don't want to confuse anybody. So as Jody's playing piano, all of a sudden I had to switch her back to the drums.
Okay.
So while she's playing drums, I had to find a piano banjo man, which happened to be Chris Langan, Jeff Langan's brother.
Yeah.
Excellent piano man, banjo man. His dad, Tom Langan, was the bass horn player for Sylvester Liebel for years.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so with Frank going down because of health issues, the Langan boy, I said, Chris, I said, you're going to be the bass player. And I knew he played a little bit. He played well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'd love the chance. So he went back and plays bass horn with us now and doing a terrific job.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Doing a terrific job. So with that being said, now I had to go back to finding a piano banjo man. So I used this. We have a gentleman in La Crosse here who is about my age,
mm-hmm.
young, very young.
Mm-hmm.
who's a fabulous Dixieland banjo player, and his name is Paul Erickson.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Erickson was inducted into the Oklahoma Banjo Hall of Fame with Roy Clark here a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
He is that good of a string player, so he's been doing a lot of work with us.
Okay.
So anyway, as we talk about running a band of that size, 6-7-piece band, it's, like I say, it's quite challenging. Do we get to play the smaller, you know, the Legion clubs or the ballrooms? You know, there ain't many ballrooms left, but
right.
To hire a band of this size gets a little tough for some people, and I understand it. But most of our gigs that we play are, big city festivals, Oktoberfest. I was just looking at our schedule this morning. We'll come and we play some casino gigs. We're going to be coming to New Ulm playing Bavarian Blast. We got four nights in a row at La Crosse Oktoberfest. Things like that. We play a lot of a few county fairs out this way. We're a bigger band that's more presented, I guess.
You bet. And just quickly, Brian, if you get a call to do a one- or two-piece job, three-piece job, do you even take those or consider those, or do you only go out with the full band?
I generally only go out with the full band.
Okay. Yeah.
And I do get calls to do that. My mother's in an assisted living.
Okay.
And I will do something like that for a special occasion for my mother. Of course, I would do anything for mom.
Yeah.
But a family member like that. But no, I try to traditionally keep it at the big band because just the way it is. If I start doing the small things, then people kind of got me across the barrel, and I've worked so hard to have the big band and that style going that I just would like to keep it there.
Well, I know some of the other bands too. I think the one that comes to mind for me is Adam Sandhurst. He said he simply won't go out unless it's the full band. That's just his passion in playing, and I really respect that. I can understand that. You know, guys like you and Adam, you're very talented concertina players, but even from my own experience playing over the years, there's such a feeling that comes over you when you have more people in the band than just yourself. It's kind of lonely, lonely up there when you're playing all by yourself.
It is. And I tell you what, the best thing that ever happened to me as a kid was when I started out playing the trumpet. I understood what, like, the simple harmonies and that stuff. And even though I play a concertina, I'm gonna use the words of Donny Klausner here.
Okay.
I'm a concertina player that envies the horn section.
Okay. Yeah.
And Donny was that kind of a guy, too, where as well as he was as a concertina player, it wasn't about us being a concertina player. It was the horn section that put us in the position to do what we could do.
Absolutely.
I love the horn section.
You bet.
I love the horn section.
You bet. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, Brian. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. I'm going to take a minute to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, give them credit for the show here, and then we'll come back to you, and we're going to bring up Donny Klausner. Is that all right?
That sounds great. Thank you,
Si. You bet. So, Happy New Year from the St. Joe Meat Market, and we hope that all of you are finding a way to stay warm through these cold days of winter. Well, here's a suggestion for you. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market this week. Pick up a nice beef or pork roast that you can put in the oven, which will warm up the house and put a great aroma throughout the house. Beef roasts, including chuck roast, sirloin tip, rump, and prime rib, are tender, juicy, mouth-watering, and always on hand in the meat case at the St. Joe Meat Market. Pork roasts, including the shoulder or picnic roast, pork loin, bone-in or boneless, and the ever-popular fresh ham roasts are in the meat case as well. Burger is ground fresh several times daily. And actually, the meat case itself is totally refreshed every day with mouth-watering steaks, pork chops, chicken, and sausage, just to mention some of the great items that you will find in the meat case when you come into the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, for more great in-store specials, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can call 320-363-4913. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, downtown St. Joseph, Minnesota. Brian, for being our guest on the show, you've been here before. You know how it works. We're going to put up a nice package, get that out in the mail for you tomorrow, and send it out priority mail. You should have it in a day or so, and hope that you and Jody and the family around you enjoy it in good health. How's that worked out for you?
That sounds very good. That's very nice. You've had them sponsors forever, haven't you?
Yes, yes. It was my day job there for 55 years. And a few years back, my brother came to me and said, I'd like to do something with advertising. What can you do for me? And I talked to the station manager here, and we put this thing together. We actually started doing this show back in 2013. Our good friend, Mr. Wally Pickle, was our first guest back in 2013.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been putting up a meat package every week since then and sending it out to some musician that takes 15, 20 minutes out of their life. And they'll never get back, but I've never had one complain about it.
No, that's excellent. Wally Pickle, what a cool guy.
Yep, yep. We all knew them. And with talking about Wally, we can kind of jump into the next subject here, talking about some great musicians that are no longer with us, and the most recent one that I know, Donnie Klausner, passing away this past Wednesday. 89 years old, huh?
Yeah, that's a sad. I know when Sylvester Liebel passed away, that time it was quite a shocker. And I remember Jerry Schiff saying,
"Oh,
losing a guy like Sylvester Liebel is it's a huge loss."
It was,
and losing Donnie Klausner is a huge loss. Simply not only because of his concertina playing, but he was such a nice man. He talked about in the obituary about his lighthearted sense of humor. He had a great sense of humor. He was fun to be around, and it was a polite sense of humor. It was really, really nice to be around. But memory that he had of the old bands and the players and all that stuff. I hope Gary Schrader spent a lot of time with him and talked with him.
Yeah.
Because Gary's about the guy left that can keep some
historian
of the names going.
Yeah.
Donnie was a great historian for that. And guys like that are fading away. And Donnie, that was quite a loss.
I called him frequently when I needed information about the New Ulm bands, and he never left me down. He knew everything that I asked him every time. And some years ago, I had people wanting to get his last recording there with the Buttons and Bellows Landler, that recording.
Yep.
It's called Greetings from an Old Friend with the Babe Wagner Band. And I talked to Donnie about getting that put on CD, and he said, "I'll help you, Si." So he got a hold of Jill Wagner, Swede's daughter, and I believe she's still living today yet, but talked to her and told her about me and what I wanted to do. And the three of us got together, and she said, "I see no reason why we can't do this." I took it to the producer, and we had it put onto CD, and we've sold quite a number of those copies over the years now. It's a replica of the original album, and Donnie was so instrumental in getting that thing brought to production. There's one on there called the... JJ Polka and
Jaybird
Polka. There you go. And and when we first got the spec copy, getting it off of the album onto the CD, and I sent it to Donnie, and he said, "Si, this isn't right." He said, "I can't play the concertina with it." And he said, "I should be able to play my concertina right along with that." And the speed of it was not right. And so, with his assistance, and Jerry Menard got involved with it too, we got that thing speeded down to the right tempo, the right speed, and the average person would never know the difference. But he was such a what would you call it? I mean, such an intelligent person, and knew that, and we got that thing released right. I mean, I was so proud to be part of that.
You know, he was. I think he had quite a well backgrounded electrical.
Yeah.
Background, engineering background, that he knew stuff. Yeah, he was good at it.
Well, and he told me that recording, a number of the songs were recorded at the ballroom, I think it was in Klossner, and then some of them were recorded, some of the pieces on that CD were recorded at the station in New Ulm, I think.
At KNUJ, you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and such fascinating stuff that the average person, listener, would not know about had he not told me all of this. So,
you know, if I ain't mistaken, Cy, I think it was Schrader or Donnie Klossner, one of those guys told me this, but Swede Wagner at one point did a, there's a little recordings of some like Foxtrot, some modern tunes.
Okay.
Swede did the instruments on there.
Okay.
And he played the drum part with a piece of paper and a fly swatter.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You know, well, the Evening Shadows, that song, I mean, such a classic, and never had words to it. And somebody wanted to have words to it. And so Swede, and I think it was his wife, sat up one night and put words to that song. Did you?
Yeah. Hear? What was Swede's wife? Was that Florence?
I think you're right.
Yeah, because I remember Jerry Schuft when we did the recording "Hang 'Em Out to Dry."
Yeah.
With the good old boys, Jerry, Carl, and I recorded that.
Yeah.
And Mike Selecki sang the words, and Jerry was very, very stern on that. He says, "Now we got to give credit to who wrote the song."
Yep.
And it was Swede Wagner, and lyrics by Florence.
Yep, you're right. Yep, it's on the CD here.
And that's on the CD, that's the way all recordings should be. I really think whoever writes these things, these songs, they wrote them with an intent, so let's give them credit.
You bet.
As much as we can, anyway.
Our time is running short, but I want to still mention some of the great musicians that you got to work with. A dear friend of mine, and I know yours as well, Donnie Burkhart.
Donnie Burkhart was a hell of a horn player.
Yes, trumpet.
Yeah, he was a great horn player, and he was also a good singer.
Yes.
But he was on the Wagner Band. He was on the Whoopee Band.
Yep.
And, yeah, he played with some of the bigger bands. Yeah, I had him, and I had Lou Allen. He was a bass player of ours.
Bass horn player, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the Ray Dorschner Band for a while.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, early 70s.
Yep.
And, yeah, I had some good ones. Every time, once in a while, we make it out that way, we'll pick up Jerry Cale, and he'll work with us.
Yep,
and,
Jerry's still going yet.
Good,
yep.
Yeah, good players. And
yep.
And I got to give credit to, you know, even though I run the bigger band, and there's some young boys out there that are playing concertinas that when I get out that way, I like to listen to them.
You bet.
You know, you got that Dane down there and that Nick Static, Adam up there.
Yeah.
And Nate Fredrickson. I like to listen to those guys play.
You know, it's encouraging to see those young fellows. You know, it was just a day or two ago that you and Gary and Carl were all the young guys, you know, and what's going to happen when you guys get old? And now you see these young guys coming on. We got to see Dane Molden not that long ago. And, I mean, he really has a nice style.
You know, there's something about those guys that live in Sleepy Eye.
Yeah.
They play different, they talk different, they do everything different, and everything they do I like.
Yes, absolutely.
There's something about that Sleepy Eye. Josh Sellner.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, that boy's a good concertina player.
Yes, he is. You bet.
Does nice concertina repair work, builds, but them young guys like that, I just love to listen to them.
You bet. Well, quickly, Brian, I just have to ask you, folks always like to hear, what kind of concertinas are in the cases by your house these days?
I tell you, I got some treasured ones. My 1980 Hengel B-flat that I bought from Christie, brand new, when I was 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
15 years old, I paid $1,850 with the case.
Oh, my gosh.
And I called, my dad and I ordered it when I was 13 years old, and I called Christy every month and asked him if it was ready, and, you know, it just about drove him nuts.
Yep, yep.
On my 15th birthday, June 5th, I called Christy up, and I said, you told me 2 years. I says, is it ready? And Christy said, I was just going to call you. Meet me in Waseca, Minnesota, June 15th. Your concertina is ready. I about flipped.
I bet.
I about flipped. So I have that one there. And actually, Josh Zellner just went through that thing and really gave her a, I put a new set of bellows on it. And yeah, Josh played it. He said that's one of the nicest B flats he's ever played. And then I got a 1939 Paddock.
Okay.
Concertina, Paddock, a quad.
Yeah.
That was in the hands of Johnny Gogg and the Six Fat for and the Katzenjammers for many years.
Oh, my. That's a good one.
I bought that from Johnny when I was 19 years old.
Oh, boy.
Years old, something like that. I've had it longer. It's been in my possession longer than it was in Johnny's possession.
Okay.
So I've had that thing 40 years already. And then I have Jerry Schuff's Paddock Deluxe.
Oh, yeah.
That I take them all out on the stage, and I play them all.
Okay.
I traditionally just play the B-flat is I do pretty much everything on the B-flat.
Sure,
I take the Paddocks along just for, I don't know, just to give people something different to listen to, something different.
You bet.
But as far as solos and playing with the band, everything's pretty much done on the B-flat.
Well, that's awesome. You know, we could go on and on, Brian. I got to save some time to play a couple tunes by you, and so I want to do that. The other one we were talking about, folks that aren't with us anymore, I wanted to just mention Randy Dorschner passing away recently, too. Did you know Randy as well?
I knew Randy very well.
Yeah.
When Randy's dad, Ray, passed away, the band kind of they weren't playing.
No.
And Ray passed away, and then shortly after that, Randy's brother Jim passed away.
Yep.
And that one really, really hurt Randy. And I got to talk to Randy, and he was a friend of mine.
Yep.
And I actually, Randy called me up one day, and he said, "I know you like my dad and my brother," and he said, "You guys were kind of friends of ours." But he said, "I got Dad's old band trailer here. Would you like it?" And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I'll still use it."
Yeah.
And I actually, that's what we travel with is Ray Dorschner's old band trailer.
Really?
That is our band trailer.
Whatever.
Anyway, I knew Randy, and we'd talk a couple, two, three times through the years. And he sent me some very interesting paperwork of when Ray was younger.
Oh, yeah.
About that Ray and Babe Wagner used to talk back and forth. They'd send letters to each other. I got those letters at my house here.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's
and
awesome.
It's pretty neat to see that. Well, then about a month before Randy passed, I called him, and we were visiting for quite some time and talking about music, and he sent me an arrangement of Ray's that they had got from Austria. It was an Austrian song. And Ray wrote an arrangement up. It was called Auf der Idiotenwiese. It's a song translated means the village idiot.
Okay.
And it was the Waltz. Ray recorded it. It's on his recording. If you can find it, one of them, play it. It's a beautiful Austrian song, and Ray sings it.
Okay.
And I thought, my dad always liked that song, and I thought, man, we got to get a hold of that. And called Randy, and Randy sent it to me, and I hit it just in time. He sent me the sheet music, all the lyrics. And Randy Thull sings it, and people absolutely love it. It's a cool song.
Good.
So it's kind of a new one for us, but it's nice. And you know, 3 weeks later, Randy passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And that just shocked me.
So, I know it. And it's
Randy was a talented musician.
Oh, he was. He was. Yep. And
he was actually a very good concertina player.
He was, yeah. He was on one of the recordings, did the concertina work as well on that, too. So,
you betcha.
Yeah, yeah.
You betcha. And it is, I don't know if you remember, but his Uncle Larry used to build concertinas out there in New Orleans.
You bet. Oh, we could go on and on. The stories are so great, and those are such wonderful memories of all those musicians that are now gone. And fortunately, I know there's one Dorschner left, Steve. He was a trumpet player with the Dorschner band. I know he's still living yet, so hopefully we can hang on to a few of us and keep this memorabilia alive.
Well, that's kind of an important thing, and you know, as we talked about Donnie Klausner being a great historian on that, and you guys out there have the young fella down in New Ulm there, Gary Schrader, who is a great historian with it, and it's very important that people stay in touch with him. And if you got any old photos or stuff like that, it's don't toss them, keep them, because it's a great part of history.
Yeah, it really is.
The dance band era from the 30s and 40s and the 50s, you look at some of these old pictures of Donnie Klausner playing with the Babe Wagner band to see what the ballrooms really look like. Oh. You know, this generation now has no clue what it was really like.
So true.
You know, I got a couple younger boys here, and as much as I've traveled and played all over, heck, you know, and the boys are kind of, dad was, dad, you were out entertaining the people, you know. And my oldest boy, who's now 32, Brady, he always tells my younger boys, he says, guys, he said, I got to travel with dad back in the 90s.
Yeah.
When everything was, he says, he told them younger guys, he said, you wouldn't have believed it, some of the festivals we went to and how many people were there.
Yes.
There was always, you know, no matter where you went to play, my son told my younger boys, he says, you shouldn't really laugh at that, because he said it was true.
Yeah.
It was quite a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brian, I had forewarned you. I said we usually ask you for a memory, something special at this time of the program. What have you got for us today? Anything special?
Oh, let's see. Anything special? You know, I think the highlight of my playing is there one place that I really enjoyed playing. They've all been special. I could go through every dance job and pretty much tell you who was on the band that night. Or the band is 40 years old, and I think I could tell you every dance job of what happened. But it was a real honor. You know, I got to play the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville.
Yeah.
The only concertina player to ever play Grand Ole Opry. I got to do it. It was with Michael Martin Murphy.
Yeah.
That was really nice. I played the Smithsonian Institute, Washington, D.C., for the Folk Music Festival of the Arts. I got to play that. I did a great interview with the Wisconsin Humanities. I went down and spoke about our kind of music in Madison, Wisconsin. And I spoke for a couple hours and took questions and did some answers, played a little bit, and that was really, I enjoyed that. And I'm trying to figure something out with these folks in Madison. They got a museum going up down there, and they want to know if I would donate a concertina, an old music stand, old microphone that I've used over the years. So that's, hopefully we can make that happen, be part of the museum. But in the meantime, we've also discussed of writing a book.
Oh.
That of my past years of what it's been like. But the day the phone rang and I got called to go to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
To play an Oktoberfest for the military troops. That was like everything I've worked for. It felt like somebody, it made sense. There was a reason why I did what I did. It was quite a pat on the back. It was like a big thank you. It was so nice. We were treated, you'll have to ask Gary Schrader. Mike Wendelick went along on the trip.
Oh, really? Okay.
Chris Lang and my son Philip and Mark Hines, we went over there. And Chris Lang, we went over to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba and played an Oktoberfest. And it was astounding of how we got treated and how well. You know, these soldiers over there, they're from all parts of the country. So just to see anybody close from where they live, as we were there, they just, it was so nice.
Oh.
It was so nice.
Great, great story.
You know, and so then Captain John Fisher, as we got done playing our gig, And the next day we woke up, and our security guide that was always with us, he said, Captain John Fisher would like to see you guys. And I thought, uh-oh. So our agent, along with the security guy, take us over to see Captain John Fisher. Well, we walked in the office and visited with him a little bit, told him where we were from, the story and all that, and got some great pictures taken. We visited for about 20 minutes, half hour or so, and as we walked out of Captain John Fisher's office, I left all the musicians go ahead of me. I was the last one out. The agent, he had a title in the military also, but he turned around to Captain John Fisher, and I was the last one, and I heard this. And he turned around, and he says to Captain John Fisher, he said, "Aren't you glad you met him? I told you they were nice guys."
Wow.
To me, that was everything right there.
Absolutely. Awesome story.
Because at the end of the day, no matter what you play, how good you play it, or who you think you are, or no matter what you've done, you're only as good as the person you stand next to. And that's what I got out of Captain John Fisher saying, "I told you they were nice guys."
Oh.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. Great story. Well, with that, we're going to let you run, Brian. Thank you so much for taking time out and being a guest once again on our Musicians Come and Play. Like I've told you in the past, the good Lord willing that you and I are still here down the road sometime, we'll do this thing again. How's that?
I would love to do it again. I certainly would, Cy. And I tell you, thank you to yourself, thanks to yourself, and all the people out there that listen to you and go out to hear live music. We appreciate that.
You bet.
Keep it rolling.
All righty. With that, we wish you a good day, Brian. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
You got it. Thank you.
You bet. And there he goes, Brian Bregan, our 535th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got a couple of tunes coming up by Brian and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman in just moments. Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there, wrapping up our 535th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Brian Bregan, what an outstanding guest, huh? Oh my goodness, the stories that he knows and has, and the contacts with all the people. Just so much fun to visit with Brian. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. Well, with that, we're going to try to play a couple of tunes yet here by Brian and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman, starting out with one called The Good Time Charlie Polka. ¶¶ The Good Time Charlie Polka, Brian and his Mississippi Valley Dutchman. And there's something about Brian's tempo. It just gets your toes a-tapping. You just want to get out there and dance. He has really got a swing to his music. We're at 29 minutes now before the hour, 1 o'clock. 11 degrees our temperature here in Albany. And in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport. And she texted me information again this weekend saying, if you are ready to make your travel adventure plans for 2025 and into 2026, mark your calendars for one of these dates. The Jeannie B's Tours 2025 meet and greets begin on Wednesday, January 29th, at Jill's Cafe in Richmond, starting at 9:09 till 11:30, and then at Sal's Bar and Grill in St. Joe from 1 until 3:30. Invite your friends and family to join you in seeing the narrated slide presentations for the Treasures of Ireland, Alaska Cruises and Land Tours, Canadian Rockies, New England, Panama Canal Cruise, Danube River Cruise, Germany, Austria, and highlights of Scandinavia, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. On Thursday, January 30th, visit with Jeannie B's staff at the Tutti Frutti Kitchen in Sauk Center, Minnesota from 9 until 10:30, and then at the Traveler's Inn in Alexandria from 1 until 2:30. You can enjoy treats, door prizes, drawings, and 2025 tour information for one day, minication, overnights, and extended motor coach tours like Spring Branson Music Fest, Door County, Wisconsin, Apostle Islands, Ark Encounter, and many more. Call Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 for meet and greet information or to request a tour schedule to be mailed to you. Now is the time to reserve your 2025 tour seats on Jeannie B's Motor Coach Tours. As Jeannie likes to say, remember, seeing is believing. That's to you from Jeannie B's Tours. Proudly bringing us the musical treat for Dancing Feet here on Chasm. It's waltz time with Brian Brigham and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman, the Beautiful Rose Waltz. Thank you. Brian Brigham and his Mississippi Valley Dutchman, beautiful arrangement there of the beautiful Rose Waltz. Old time polka time, the Moya Deca Polka. Oh, a nice snappy polka tune for you there. One called the Moya Deca Polka with Brian and his Mississippi Valley Dutchman. Boy, that clock on the wall just never slows down during this segment. And once again, time to wrap up another edition of our Musicians Coming musical treat for dancing feet. And we're going to do that with a nice old-time waltz, one called Helsa Dem Der Hema.
Remember the old Skipper Berg, the Viking accordion band years ago? They played very well, very good band. It was their theme song, called Helsa Dem Der Hema. Greet the folks at home. Here we go. Waltz time. Everybody dance along. Let's have a party here in New Prague. How about it?
Love.
Brian and the Mississippi Valley Dutchman right there for you. One called Helsa Dem Der Hema. Greet the folks at home. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.